All right. Good morning, church. It's wonderful. Good morning, church. It's wonderful to have Pastor Epson with us today. Pastor Epson, of course, I know you and many of our people know you, but maybe some people don't know who you are or have joined us recently online. Give us a little introduction about you and Hope for All.
Thank you, Pastor Wade, and thank you for this beautiful time and opportunity for us to share our stories. My name is Epson Simic, and I'm from Darjeeling, northern part of India. My wife, Trifina, and I, we were missionaries in Hong Kong for many years, for 6 years, and before we planted the church. And during that time, actually, God was laying strongly in our hearts to plant a family kind of like church, because we saw many of the families devastated by many of the problems in their lives. And then that's where, you know, it began, the vision of planting a church. And it was 2016, after graduating from Fuller, Mother Church here, CCHK, all of you guys prayed for us and sent us to the seminary to really reflect on the visions. And later on in 2016, Pastor Steve came alongside sharing about the Hope vision, where P stood for planting the church. And that's where everything, you know, like began to unfold in reality. And actually last week, 2017, we launched the church, and we started actually with a small numbers of people, eight families. And now we have 45 plus adults, 20 plus children, four active missional groups, you can call it home house fellowships, and four active ministries going on right now. And we want to praise God for that. I want to thank you, church, for standing with us, for sending us, for praying for us. Yeah, for so many things. I want to thank God, and I want to say that it was, you know, the prayer, the vision, and everything that God had put in the hearts of the church.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it's been wonderful to journey alongside Hope for All. I know you have a few slides here, and I'll give you the ability to forward through those. Share a little bit about what's happening right now at Hope for All.
Yeah, so some of the highlights that I can share, I can keep on, sharing, but just...
Be sure to save some of your energy for right. You have to preach later at Hope for
yes,
All.
Yes, so. We do. Yeah, but I want to share just the three highlights. Men's ministry among the drug addicts. Last year when we entered into the community, we have, we were facing and we were seeing a lot of the problems especially amongst the men. And that's where, you know, the question, where are the men's, you know, in the church? So now the question, we were asking that question, and we found many of the men's were struggling with drugs, alcohol, and many brokenness. So, you know, part of like our strategy just to reach out to the men was to really share the gospel with these guys. And after, when we shared the gospel, one guy actually who had taken baptism last week, it was an amazing time. We went to the stream and he baptized, and you can see the smile in his face because he came through the door shivering, and literally he was suffering with many things. He was possessed, and he was literally under the bondage of Satan. And then when he accepted the Lord and he received Christ and went to the rehabilitation center and came back after 1 year, and now we are seeing that through him, his testimony, many of the men are now actually accepting Christ, and we're reaching out to them. The second highlight would be the young adult. You know, young adult. We had the vision of reaching out to the 1.5 generation young adult people. And you can see one of the guys, he's from Muslim background. And these guys actually are now empowered to reach out to the young people, young adult in Hong Kong. And they're actually running a DTS program, discipleship training program online in 1st October, the 3rd October. So these are some of the highlights, which includes... during this time.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Thank you, Epson. I know COVID has had a particular impact for many of your people in terms of unemployment, and we've got people coming alongside, but maybe many of our people don't know how to come alongside Hope for All in this season. What are ways we can come alongside, and what are some things we can pray for?
Yeah. During COVID, we were hit hard. Many of the families, majority of them, they come from poor family background, no income, low income. So many of them, they lost their jobs. And what happened was that we had to stand against it. And as a church, we began to minister to them in many levels, you know, just providing rental helps and, you know, providing, you know, just physical or emotional, you know, like health and spiritual support and all of that. So during this time, one of the good things that happened was that as a church, we began to do a relief ministry amongst the community, and began to reach out. And you can see on the right, a lot of these ministries, the platforms are now we served where actually in response to the COVID-19, and you can see these as also being the top needs of the community. That now, as they are now, as they were suffering, we are standing with them, providing both the physical and then the spiritual needs for the community. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Epson, and it's wonderful to stand with you in this. And I know many of our people are going there and providing needs, and certainly we pray together. Let me pray briefly as Pastor Brenda comes up to pray as well for everything. Mm-hmm. God, I thank you for Pastor Epson, and I thank you for the work of Hope for All, and I thank you, God, that you are doing a work there in Yamate. And I just pray your spiritual encouragement and your covering over that church, over Pastor Epson and Pastor Tofina and their family, God, over the leaders of that church. May they be Hope for All. May they be a light in that place, God, and may people be drawn to you, we pray.
Yes, God.
In your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Church, I would like you to join me in prayer today. We are going to pray especially for Hope for All. I'm going to invite you to do one of two things, or both things. The one thing you can do is to stretch out your hands wherever you are, okay? To stretch out your hands as we pray for Hope for All. Or if you're with another person next to you, you can hold hands with the other person. And I would also like you to pray with me by typing into the chat box as I'm praying. You also join in by typing in the chat box your prayer. So Pastor Epson has shared with us the ways that we could pray for him, for the church, for people in the church, and for the various ministries. And I would like us to do this together because we are one body in Christ and we stand together. Can we do that? Let's pray. Jesus, you are a wonderful counselor. You are Prince of Peace. You are the King of Kings. And Jesus, your name is above all name. And we come before you. And as we stand with our brothers and sisters in Hope for All Church, and we pray for them, and we pray for them, we want to thank you also for all the wonderful things that you have done and you are doing and that you continue to do and will continue to do in this beautiful, beautiful body of yours. God, we thank you for testimonies of people getting delivered from all kinds of bondage, getting saved, oh God, from things that have kind of hindered them from coming to you, whether it's in the men's ministry or whether it's just people coming together and seeking you to be delivered from financial difficulties and from spiritual bondage or from mental health issues. Lord, there have been so many breakthroughs, and we want to give you all thanks because you are good and your name is powerful. You came to set us free, and we want to thank you for that. But we also want to continue to pray and stand with them, even as members in the church struggle with finances, with having lost their jobs, with sometimes severe mental issues, mental health issues. So, God, we pray that you continue to bring deliverance, oh God, into for people who are really looking to be healthy in every way, to be whole in every way. And God, I pray that even as Epson and Trofina and the staff that minister to people there, God, you continue to empower them. Continue, God, to give them the wisdom and the strength that's needed, but also give them rest, God. Give them rest. And when they rest in you, Lord, they will find life again as they pour themselves out and pour out the life they have given to them. And God, we also pray for health, oh God. We pray, Lord, that you keep them healthy. Keep the immune system strong, oh God, as they pour themselves out day and night, every day, God. And teach us all, help us all in this in community church to know how to pray for them, to remember to pray for them, and to check in with them, so that we know how they are doing and how best we can stand alongside and come alongside them. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful body of yours. And God, as we go into this time of your word, of hearing your word, of listening to your word, of embracing your word, we pray that you prepare our hearts. Help us to be receptive to what you've got to say to us through Pastor Wei this morning. Help us to have a teachable heart. Amen.
Good morning again, church family. It's great to be with you today. Thank you, Pastor Brenda, for those prayers and worship team. It's great having four people now on the worship team, and you've probably enjoyed some of the relaxing of some of the social distancing, maybe having meals with four people out. We can now have a meal out with Cody, and we're appreciating some of the success that the city has seen as the COVID numbers drop, and we continue to pray for that, for our city, and we pray for it globally, and hopefully soon churches will be able to meet in person. But God has not stopped working in this season of COVID. And I know you probably miss coming into this place and being closer physically, but God is still at work. And I pray this morning that God is working wherever you are right now as you worship together. From the places that you're in. We continue in the series of With God series, and this is a series that we're taking a look at what is our posture to God, and I would encourage you to download that chart. If you haven't already, do that, and it gives you an opportunity to fill that out as we go. Today is over God or with God, and last week, Pastor Brenda talked about life from God and really approaching God as this Santa Claus type of a person, like a vending machine. But you can't have a relationship with a vending machine, right? You can't have true abundant life with a vending machine. And so we need to relate to God in relationship. And that's an important way for us to grow deeper wherever we might be at today, whether things are difficult or things are good. God desires abundant life and desires that relationship for us. The first week was under God, and under God is kind of this, God is this angry boss, and he's difficult to please. And, you know, I came across this on Facebook this week, and this religion is sort of this under God approach. I messed up, right? My dad is going to kill me, versus the gospel or a with God posture that says, I messed up. I need to call my dad. And this is what we want to invite us into today. And let's begin by praying. God, I thank you that you, in fact, are with us today. And we invite your spirit to open up your word, to open up our hearts, that we might draw closer to you this morning, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So over God, right? So before the Enlightenment, there was this idea that there are gods out there, and somehow we have to figure out how to appease them by bringing offerings and by somehow getting the gods on our side so crops will grow, so our children will live, and things like that. With the Enlightenment came a scientific understanding of the world. It was no longer, I wonder why crops grow or why disease happens. We begin to discover science, and we begin to understand the reasoning behind some of the things that happen. And with the Enlightenment came a new way of relating or not relating to God. And so what became at the center, really, of religion was this idea of principles and science and laws and understanding. And so it really shifted the whole perspective of the worldview. So, for example, before the Enlightenment, if you were sick or your child was sick, you would go to a religious leader and ask for prayer. Post-Enlightenment, right? With discoveries, what do we go when we're sick? Primarily, we go to the doctor. We get prescriptions, right? We know that these things will help. Now, prayer and prescriptions are not wrong, of course. We want to do both of them, but note the shift in perspective and understanding of how the world works. Is superstition or science in this under or over God type of posture, okay? So, but still at the heart was this fear. How do we fix the problem, right? How do we control our fears? How do we step into that? And so the dynamic was still, there's a danger and I'm afraid and I have to seek control. Under God would say, I have to seek control by somehow getting the gods on my side with the over God posture. It's somehow, what is the right principle? What is the right truth? What is the right medicine to address the issue? So how does that impact our Christian faith, right? How do we as believers be impacted in this posture, in this scientific worldview, if you will? And it's really, how do we discover and live by the principles God has for us, right? How do we do that? We can begin to go to the Bible and look for those things, right? When we see the Bible primarily as an instruction manual, we have a problem, we go to it for the answer, right? We go to it for the principles on how God would have us parent, how he would have us do relationship, how we should navigate life. But the problem there is instead of looking to the Bible as something that encourages and empowers to have a relationship with God, communion with God, we go to it looking for principles. We go to it looking for, how do I respond in this situation? And what can happen is we can get those principles and we can get that instruction and we actually don't need God. We can have a relationship with the book instead of relationship with the living God. In our passion to honor God's word and its usefulness, we actually do the opposite. We diminish God's word to a book of principles and ideas, and not an invitation to go deep with a God who loves us. We actually see Jesus confronting even this type of approach to his word in his ministry. We see this in John 5, 39 to 40, where Jesus says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me," Jesus says, "yet you refuse to come to me to have life." This was not a new concept that we encounter in our day. And see, the religious leaders were coming to God as a distant God. And so if you fill out that chart, God in this worldview is really a distant professor. He's sort of the distant watchmaker. He started everything and he's given the world a way to function. And we just have to figure out how it functions well. What's the right way to live? What are the right things we need to discover? And yet God is far away. We don't really need him to be a part of the process. Now, principles and rules and laws can be clear and understanding, right? Relationships can be messy. They take work. They go sideways sometimes. Difficult to control. And yet that's what God calls us into is relationship, because that is where life is. He wants relationship with us. This approach falls short in several ways. One, it assumes that the way God worked in the past is how he is going to work in the future. Now, remember, in the Jewish faith, remembering God's faithfulness was key to their faith. This is a key component of the Jewish faith, is remembering what God has done, right? This is why they do the annual festivals. This is why they have Passover, is they remember that God delivered them from Egypt. And so remembering, it's not just this idea of God in the past, it's remembering how he's working today. And so the next scripture I want to get to is Isaiah 43. And we went through this scripture last weekend with the council of prayer and planning time. And listen to these words. God says through Isaiah, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." See, in verse 17, God actually reminds Israel of how he delivered them from Egypt. He says, "I took you through the Red Sea," right? The chariots were there, but I delivered you. The very next verse, he says, forget that. Not forget that he was faithful. Not forget of how he came through. But don't hold on to the way I worked in the past. It's how I'm going to work in the future. In order to grab a hold of what I have for you in the future, you have to let go of thinking I'm going to show up the same way I did before. Don't we do that, though? We can look for God to show up the same way in our life that he did in the past, and we put God in a box. I was thinking about this verse this week, and I was thinking about the box that I've put God in. Now, this is a box that Maya painted for me. I brought it in today. And I was thinking about, what are the ways I've put God in a box? What are the ways that I've restricted God in my life, that I haven't been open to the new things? I think growing up, I had such a long list of beliefs. You have to believe this, 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 not just primary and essential issues, but issues, I thought all issues were essential in our faith. And so I put those restrictions around God. What denomination are you from? Because that's going to impact, right? If God is going to use you or not. And how does the church function? How should it function? How do I want my family to be, God? What is my plan for my life? And I kept putting God in that box in my life. And we can do that as a church as well. I was thinking back about some of my God in the box prayers. And what if God had answered them in the way that I wanted? If he had, I would be an FBI agent right now instead of a pastor. That was my early desire in terms of what I thought I wanted to do. And I prayed for that. I would be living in the Bay Area, the area that I grew up in right now, and not in Hong Kong. And I thought in those times I would pray those sort of God in the box prayers, that this is how God will come through, right? They were me focused. They were holding on to the things of the past. But God actually had something better for me. He had a richer life. Didn't mean everything went perfectly well. It didn't mean there weren't struggles or challenges, but he was going to be with me in those. And if I could let go of how I wanted to control my future, I could see how God was working in the present. See, I think we all want God to act. We want God to show up. We're in this new season. We're in this season of COVID. And we might think, yeah, I want God to show up in this new season. But actually, we're holding on to something that's restricting God. And this might be a verse for you today, whether it's how we operate as a church or how things are going for your life. God, show up, but show up in my framework. Show up how I want to do things. And we might actually miss how God wants to work in our lives. We want to control God. And in the process of controlling, we miss God. This posture also falls short in another way. This approach does not take away the burden of fear we carry. See, this idea that we have to figure out everything is a much heavier burden than God ever wanted for us. If we have to figure out everything just perfectly, if we have to live just perfectly, if everything we believe in just perfectly, in order for God to show up in our lives in the way we want, it will crush you. It will not decrease your fear. It will not decrease your desire for control. You're living as if it all depends on you. And friends, that is not the yoke that God has for you. He does not have that burden for you. That is not the easy yoke that we talked about several weeks ago. That is not the rhythm Jesus wants to invite us into. A final way that this approach falls short is that we can gauge, it causes us to gauge success based on effective outcomes rather than faithfulness to God's calling. We look for the most effective way to live life. We look for the most effective way to do church. Now, is effectiveness wrong? No. But what is more important is faithfulness. Faithfulness is primary, right? If we go to God and we go to his word just trying to figure it out and how to do life, do we really need God? Do we really need relationship? See, applying the principles of the Bible doesn't actually require a relationship with God. And that's what God wants to care about. That's what he desires for us, is that relationship. Think of Moses back in Numbers 20. Do you remember what happened when he was leading the people? They were upset. They were thirsty, right? That's a natural request. It's okay. You're in the desert to be thirsty. And God shows up for Moses. Moses says, you know what? The people are thirsty. And he has Moses hit the rock with the staff and water comes out and the people are satisfied and it's a win. And that's great. But then it happens again. The people are thirsty again. And instead of Moses going to God and saying, what should I do? He said, I know what's effective. I know it worked last time. I don't need God, actually. He gave me the staff. And what does Moses do? He hits the rock again with his staff. And what happens? It works, right? It was effective. Water came out. The people thought, Moses is a good leader. He was effective. We needed water. He gave us water. Nobody knew except God and Moses that Moses was not faithful to God. Moses could have left seminars on how to get water from a rock. And yet, God was less impressed. God was less impressed. He wanted Moses' heart, not his effectiveness. He wants the same for us. He wants our hearts. He wants us to do relationship with him. What if I told you I could grow our church 10% in the next year? How many would be up for that? Growing the church is not a bad thing, right? But the seminary I went to about 30, 40 years ago, they had a study on how do you grow a church? What's the most effective way to grow a church? And they had this principle, the homogeneous unit principle. And it showed them that the fastest way to grow your church is having the least amount of diversity, right? The more people are the same, the faster your church will grow. And initially I thought, this is wonderful. We want to grow churches. How do we grow churches? This is the way to do it. But upon reflection, that wasn't really probably what God wants for us. It's certainly not what I want for our church, is to be less diverse. Part of what we've talked about for years at Community is unity in diversity, right? Unity in diversity. Why does that grow slower than a less diverse church? Because we're different, right? We see things differently. We might have different ethnic backgrounds, right? Different generational backgrounds. We might have grown up in different cultures. We might have a different socioeconomic status. It means it's rife with disagreements. And yet, this is the diverse church that God calls us to be, and it's not an easy thing. In fact, in John 17, Jesus prays that the church would be unified, and that would be a testimony. So faithfulness over effectiveness. Let's jump into, we have Kay, who is in our Saturday men's group, who is reading the word for us today. Let's hear the word from Brother Kay.
Now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 5.
Thank you, Kay, for reading those words for us today. And for me, I think that they really speak to this with God posture, this way that God wants to do life with us. See, God is speaking to the people through Isaiah in a very difficult season for Israel. Things had not turned out the way they had planned. They were God's chosen people, and yet they were defeated, carried off in a land not their own, not able to decide their own fate, if you will, living under the authority of another stronger country. This was not the plan. And yet God speaks into them and this situation. And what does he say to them? I love these verses. He says, I have redeemed you. Just go through, I don't know if you have this printed out, probably not, but look for all the I statements in these verses. It's not about what Israel has to do here. God is saying what he is and who he is. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And as followers of Jesus, he says the same to us. You are mine. He says, I will be with you. He says that twice. He recognizes the challenges that they're walking through, and he recognizes the challenges you might be walking through right now, whether in your home or in your workplace, in our city. God wants to speak that he is with us. He says, I am the Lord your God. I give Egypt as a ransom. Verse 4, he says, I love you. He says that to you, family. I am with you. I will bring you. God wants to do life with us. This is a difficult time in the world. It's a difficult time in Hong Kong. And I imagine it might be difficult for many of you. We don't know how long the impacts of COVID will be going on. And yet we know that God is with us in it. He's with us in it. That's how he wants to relate to us, is with us. Dallas Willard says it this way. He says, once we embrace the reality of God's love and care for us, we see that this present world is a perfectly safe place for us to be. Doesn't mean we won't face hardship. It won't mean that we don't face difficulties. It means that God will be with us in it. And so this dynamic of danger, fear, and control actually is an opportunity to say, I will surrender. I will surrender, God, to you, because in you, I have true safety. I have eternal perspective, and it will grow my faith. It provides an opportunity for us to draw near to God and to remember that he is, in fact, with us. Despite the dangers we encounter in this world, God is with us. During our council prayer and planning time, Anil was sharing about Elijah. And remember Elijah running for his life, and God shows up to him, but it wasn't in all the dramatic ways, right? In the fire and the thunder, he shows up in a whisper. And we were singing about God's whisper earlier today. And Anil was sharing that in order to hear a whisper, right, you have to be close. You have to be close. And this is an opportunity for us to come close to God. I was remembering early years in Hong Kong and crossing the street with Maya, and I couldn't always hold her as I'm carrying things. And so as we would cross the street, I would say, Maya, stay close to Dad. Maya, stay close to Dad. And I would just continue to whisper that to her as we crossed the street, because she might have wanted to run ahead or you know, dart off, and yet there was lots of danger around. And she had to be near me to hear me. And that's God's invitation in this season. And we have a heavenly Father that is so much more than an earthly father taking his daughter across a busy street. We have a heavenly Father that loves us, that is with us, that wants to relate to us. And he is doing a new thing, friends, in this season. He has a new season for us where he wants to break free in our hearts and in our lives. Let's go to God in prayer. God, I thank you that you, in fact, are with us and desire us, God. And I thank you that you, in fact, are faithful. Even when our faith wanes, God, your faith in us, your desire and your willingness and your heart is with us, God. Amen. We're going to have a time of worship here, and I would invite you to just invite God to speak into some of these reflection questions. Is there an area of your life in which you rarely or never include God? What are those areas you think, I got this without you, right? Who do you or what do you rely on instead? And how is a relationship with God different from living out Christian values or Christian principles? Is it possible to live according to Scripture and not be with God? Can you think of a time in your life when this was the case? Invite God into one of those questions or just to reflect on what God might be saying to you this morning.